Okay, we're in just a short mini-series on building relationships, and this is, again, a translation of Pastor Hiroshi's messages of this year, focusing on the word building things, building churches, building altars, building the kingdom of God, and building relationships. Last week, when I went home, we watched a little bit of TV, and there was a TV show. I don't know the Japanese title, but they had a kind of subtitle. It was Before and After. Before and After. Basically, it was a one of those home renewal programs where they take an old house. It's just dilapidated and ugly and old and dirty. And the family gets moved out for a little bit, and they, you know, do their thing with the house, and they build this wonderful new house from the old one. And what they did with this one particular house is they kept the frame and they kept the roof in order to stay within their budget. But everything else was just terrible, so they tore it down, and they also had to put in a new foundation. So what they did was they actually lifted the frame of the house a few meters, maybe not even a few meters, maybe a meter up, and they put in underneath a completely new foundation. And after they put the stronger foundation, they poured the cement on the foundation so that it was more secure. And then finally they lowered the frame back down onto the new foundation and then built this wonderful home for the family to live in. And I thought, that's exactly what God does in our life, doesn't he? He takes us from whoever we are, from wherever we come from. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 12, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. He has given us a completely new foundation. And all of the old ways that we used to relate to people, all of the old patterns that we had when we wanted to have relationships with people, they always broke down somehow. They always got messed up. Somehow they were sabotaged, and our relationships ended up destroyed and broken. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came that we would have life, and life in abundance. And that is the truth of the gospel, and that's how it relates to our relationships, and that when we have relationships that are in Christ, we are able to have these abundant new relationships. And so we're in building relationships. The foundation we laid just last week, I want to just hit on that real briefly. Just don't want to hit every point, but it's so important to make sure that we have a secure foundation. It's in the scriptures, and that is relationships are the purpose of creation. You and I were made to relate to one another, to influence and to be influenced. There is no such thing as a do-it-yourself Christian, a lone ranger believer. No one comes to Japan so that they can be a Christian by themselves, but they can be Christians in community and to affect those around us. It is God who is community, who is relationships. And we are reflecting God. We are being made into the image of God when we relate to each other the way that he has for us, marriage, family, and church. We grow through our relationships. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It is through the friction through the friction and the rubbing of the wrong way in which iron is sharpened. That's when we become sharper as people, is when our so-called enemies or those who come against us rub us the wrong way and there is friction. We become sharper thinkers. We become sharper communicators. We become better listeners. We become more articulate because we know we have to say things the right way to the right people in order to grow as in our relationships with them. And so personal growth happens through relationships. It is a grace from God that we have people in our life who don't always agree with us. Amen? I'm going to hit that point a little bit more later on. Finally, this is a point from Hiroshi, the priority of relationships over religion. 人の関係は 人との関係は神様との関係に優先する。We yield our relationships to God to our relationships with each other. What does that mean? Basically, look, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if you have a gift or an offering, if you want to be religious, you put that aside if you have a problem with somebody else. And you need to fix your relationship. In other words, look, you can be a leader of Bible study. You can be part of the worship band. You can be so spiritual, you glow with some kind of spiritual aura. But if you can't get your relationships with each other the right way, what good is it to be so religious? What good is that in the kingdom of God? If you can't learn to forgive, if you can't learn to listen, if you can't be kind and gentle in your actions and your words. God does not require sacrifice. He requires mercy, mercy. And so put your priority over your religion in your relationships. Not saying that, relationships go over your relationship with God. Jesus says you're not worthy for the kingdom if you don't leave your brother, your mother, your sisters, your father, for me. Don't think that Jesus is saying human relationships are more important than your relationship with God. That's not it. He's saying, make sure you have your relationships right with each other before you want to come to church and act all spiritual. Some foundational truths and principles we have from the scriptures. Today we want to go focus on our scripture, which we read last week. But I'm going to preach on this week, and that is just building relationships. And we're going to use the scripture we have in Colossians in chapter 3. Excuse me, I can't find that slide. There it is. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So some things, very practical things we get out of this when we're talking about building relationships. A couple of tips, three that I can point out from this scripture. First of all, choose the right materials. Different houses, different buildings require different kinds of materials. Homes require different materials than business buildings or corporate buildings. Churches require different materials than schools do. And in our relationships, different relationships require different qualities. He lists just a few of them there: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. They're different qualities, different materials for different relationships. Compassion. You know, we need compassion for those kinds of people that we think don't deserve compassion. We have relationships and we meet people who are so needy sometimes, right? And they just come to us and they it's not one of those mutual relationships where you give and then they give back. They're just taking everything from you. And God says that's when you need to put on compassion for that kind of relationship. God gave everything for us without hesitation. He healed, He forgave, He cleanses, He blesses, He provides, He protects. Can I go on and on? Yes, I can, because God gives so much to us. And so we need to put on that compassion that God has for certain relationships. That people, you know, there's some people who are so needy. And they demand our time. They demand our emotional energy. They demand so much from us. And we need to put on compassion. We need to give them that compassion. There's kindness for those relationships. When, you know, for people who always seem so negative and so mean, and we don't want to give you any kindness. That's when we put on our kindness. There's those relationships that demand our humility. Oh, Lord, hallelujah for humility. It's for those relationships where we meet people and we see the arrogance in them because it's the same arrogance that we have. We see the pride coming out of them because it's a reflection of our pride. And we judge their pride because we're judging our own pride. And instead, we want to, you know, turn up our nose a little bit because their nose is a little bit high too, right? They're putting themselves up, and so, okay, we're gonna put ourselves a little bit higher too. And Jesus says, no. That's where you need to put on humility. That's where you need to humble yourself and let the Lord humble the proud, right? God says in James and also in the Proverbs, what does he say? He says, the Lord lifts up the humble, but the proud and the haughty he brings down. Let God do the humbling and let yourself be humble. We need to put on that humbleness. We need to put on that gentleness for those relationships. Oh, man. For those people who know how to push our buttons, they know exactly what to say at just the right time just to get us off our high horse, just to get us to say or just to get us to react. That's like their mission in life. They're gifted. You know, they are. And believe me, I'm trying to tell the truth now. There are people in your life who are gifted, whose purpose for existing is to just annoy you and work on your last nerve. That's the reason that God has them in your life. It's to grow you as an individual. It's to grow you as a person. It's to make you gentle. And, you know, what we do is, you know, we reject them. We push them up against the wall. We tell them how it is, and we walk away. We burn the bridges with them. And we never get over our issues of gentleness. We never learn how to become gentle. And so what does God do? He's got a whole other group of people waiting just to do the same exact thing the other people did. And we have to go back to our issues over and over again. We can't never get over our issues of anger and our issues of abrasiveness because we never learn what it is to be gentle. And we never learn how to receive and to put on gentleness from heaven, from God. What does the Proverbs say? Proverbs 15, chapter 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Patience. Patience is the one that we need for those who never seem to get it. We preached last week in the message, those that met Jesus, those that Jesus was relating to, the 12 disciples, he brought them up with the utmost of patience. Time and time again in the Gospels, Jesus is saying, oh man, do you still not understand? Do you still not get it? How long do I have to be with you until you finally understand what the kingdom of heaven is? But with patience and forbearance and endurance, he raised up these disciples who became the foundation of our church. And so we are called to put on patience with certain people that just can't seem to get what we're trying to say, who just don't understand what we're coming, who are just so slow, you know, just so slow, and they just won't come around. Oh, God, let me be patient. And so we have to choose the right materials. We choose these materials. And I say the word choose for two reasons. Different situations call for different qualities, so we choose them. And the second is, Paul says we need to choose these things, but he uses a different word. He uses a different analogy. He uses the word clothe. You can see there, he says we have to put on these things. Clothe ourselves with compassion. Clothe ourselves with kindness. What an interesting analogy. I just want to speak on it briefly. We often hear about, you know, putting on the armor of God, right? The helmet of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the best breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the feet fitted with readiness to the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, the armor. Every morning I got to wake up and I say, God, I put on the armor of God. I'm ready to go. I need the armor. I need the shield of faith because, man, these people I'm dealing with, Lord, they get on my nerves. Give me the armor. And we hear messages about that, but I hardly ever hear a message about us having to clothe ourselves and putting on Christ Jesus, as Paul says in other scriptures, putting on compassion and kindness. We have to put it on. It's an interesting thing. C.S. Lewis, in his book, A Mere Christianity, he says this concept of putting on Christ, putting on these things, means Christ is changing us from the outside in. We often hear Christianity changing a man from the inside out, but when we put on Christ, we're being changed from the outside in. We don't feel like being humble. We don't feel like being patient. We definitely don't feel like being gentle and kind. But we got to put it on. And then what happens is it changes us. Let me tell you this one illustration. I used to work at a company where teaching English was a business. It's a service that we provide. In other words, if we don't teach the right way, we lose customers. Students are customers, and that's money. And so teachers have to be genki and have to have this smile all the time and have to be happy. But, you know, we're not always like that. And so I'll be, you know, I'll have a rough day. I'm having a hard day in Japan. I can't, you know, get around. And, you know, people can't understand me. I can't understand them. But I have to go teach a lesson now. And, you know, I'm tired. I'm irritated. But when I go into the classroom, I have to smile. And I have to be funny. And I have to be genki. Miwa used to be my student at that school, and she noticed, she remembers. I was always genki. Okay, all right. All right. But not all, I didn't always feel that way walking into the classroom. But here's the thing. I go into the classroom, and I put on a smile, okay? I put it on. And I'm telling jokes, and I'm, you know, doing the song and the dance. And at the end of the 50 minutes, I actually feel better. And I walk out of the classroom, and I still have that silly smile on my face, and I can't wipe it off because the jokes are still in my mind, and it's still funny. And I actually have been changed from the outside in because I put on the humor. I put on the gankiness. I put it on. I clothe myself with it. And here's the thing. When we clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, that's the reality. We're not being fake. We're being genuine. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We really are humble. We really are patient. You know, hypocrisy, in the Bible, it's the actual word for hypocrisy is to put on a mask. And for those who are not in Jesus Christ, to try to be spiritual and to try to say hallelujah all the time when you don't mean it, that's putting on a mask. That's being fake. But for those of us who are in Christ, it's not a mask. It's who we really are. And so we have to put it on and let God change us into who we really are, to what we really wants, He really wants us to become. I got just a picture of Jackie Chan. I love Jackie Chan. He's a big hero of mine. There's Jesus and a few, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and then Jackie Chan's right there with a kung fu. We watched a movie last week. It was called The Tuxedo. Jackie Chan is just this regular taxi driver. And he gets hired by this super agent, spy agent, who has this tuxedo, the Tux, T-U-X, tactical uniform experiment. And he puts on this tux, and there's this technology where, you know, it meshes with your nerve system and your cells in your body. And you program it. It says kung fu. You put your watch on, it says kung fu. And the tux makes you a kung fu fighter. It's amazing. And then, I don't know if you've seen the movie, okay? Okay. And, the watch says, program it for a tango. Or James Brown, and he's doing the, you know, James Brown, and he's singing and dancing. He's getting changed from the outside in, right? He's doing, honestly. I'm thinking, that's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. I'm putting on Jesus Christ. And, you know, my Bible says, you know, humility. Okay, humility. And I have this pride that gets taken away because Jesus is making me humble from the outside in, right? Gentleness. Program that gentleness into my whole system, Lord, and make me someone who gives and speaks kindly and speaks with compassion. Oh God, change me. Put on that holy tuxedo and make me something better than I used to be. Amen. Okay, that's just tip number one. Paul goes on to say, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We're not going to get anywhere in our relationships until we learn how to forgive. Amen. In fact, the longer you know somebody, the more you have to forgive them. Right? It's the ones who know you the closest, who are the closest to you, who hurt you the deepest. And so you have to forgive all the more. And he says to forgive as the Lord forgave you. To forgive as the Lord forgave you. Jesus tells the story of the king who had a servant who owed them just millions of dollars, millions of yen. There's no way he could repay it. Never, ever. And he says, okay, you can't repay it. I'm going to take your family, your wife, your children, your house, your servants, everything. And the servant says, okay, have mercy. Please forgive me. And the king says, all right, I'll forgive you. And that servant goes on. He meets his friend in the street. He says, you owe me a few bucks, about $100 worth. And the friend says, I'm sorry, I'll pay you back. Just give me time. He says, no, you're going to jail right now until you pay me back what you owe me. And the king hears about this servant who he just forgave, how unmerciful he was to his own friend. And Jesus says, what the king did, he says, brought him back. He says, you unforgiving and wicked servant. Everything you have now is mine. And he throws him out of the kingdom. And Jesus says, that's how it is in our kingdom when we don't forgive each other. Oh, we put Jesus on the cross. Our sins put him on the cross and killed the Son of God. I mean, I have two sons. If you even look at them the wrong way, I'm coming after you. And yet we are the ones who put Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross himself. And God forgave us. And we can't even forgive somebody for talking to us the wrong way. How crazy is that? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's amazing how God forgives us. God, who is all-knowing, all-power, he knows everything. And he's able to turn off that part of himself that knows about our sin. Does that blow your mind? That blows my mind away. He can forget. This is God, all-knowing, omniscient God. And he can forget something. It says, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your transgression. That's amazing. So we need to learn how to let it go. We need to learn how to let it go. Let's learn. Let's do that right now. I want you to turn to the right, to the left, to the person next to you. I want you to say, let it go. Go ahead. Let it go. Let it go. Tell them in Japanese. Tell them in Japanese. Yurushinasai. That's right. Moiyo. Moi. Let it go. Just let it go. It's not that big a deal. Our relationships will be so much better. Right? Our friendships will last that much longer. Our homes will be that much more peaceful if we just let it go. And I mean let it go. Don't like, you know, get your memo, you know, and just start writing, you know. And then so that, you know, the next time, you know, I say this to you, you whip out that memo. And you say, this is not the first time you said this to me. This is the seventh time you've said this to me. That's not letting it go. That's not forgiving as the Lord forgave. It means for good. When you forgive, it's for good. When God forgave us, it is for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying, let yourself be walked on and beat up on and, you know, taken advantage of all the time. Meek does not mean weak. Don't be a human doormat. You know, when someone hurts you, you don't put yourself in the same situation to be hurt again. Okay? When someone says, I don't like you, believe them. Okay? And just let them go on their merry way. Okay? Don't let yourself be, you know, just beat up all the time. But when you can, and when you, as long as you, God gives you the ability, forgive. And I mean forgive. Forgive out loud. I mean, I have to say it sometimes in my own quiet, you know, my prayer room. I say, God, I forgive him or her for this or that. And God, I proclaim right now, he is free. I am free from bitterness. I am free from anger. I am free from the revenge, all of that. God, he's in your hands. I forgive that. I say it out loud to God and to myself. And I say it frequently. You have to forgive frequently if you're going to forgive for good. Sometimes forgiveness happens, you know, day after day, moment by moment. That thought comes back and that idea of revenge comes back and you have to forgive again. But we have to learn to let it go if we're going to have real relationships the way God has for us. So we have to choose the right materials, learn to let it go. Excuse me. Finally, use the right cement, which is love. Paul says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together, all in perfect unity. Instead of preaching here, I'm just going to let the scriptures speak for a little bit. Romans chapter 12, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Romans chapter 13, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. I know we need to hear this again and again. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love is not the first day of the honeymoon when all is sunny and bright and it's just smoochy, smoochy. Love is that first month of living together, and you got to figure out how you're going to leave the toilet seat up or down, or you know who's going to use what at what time. That's love. Love is not, you know, when the lights are low and the music is playing and it's all romantic. No, 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 no. Love is when it's that, you know, you got to wake up in the morning and they're sitting right next to you and it's like, ugh, all right, I love you. I love you. Love is not, you know, when it's your birthday and I got you just what you wanted and it's, you know, something, that's not love. Love is just every other day of the week and I'm going to give you what you need, like it or not, with truth and grace. That's love. Love is not on, you know, Saturday morning and we can sleep in. We got all the time in the world and it's just slow and easy. No, no, no. Love is you've got, you know, 2 minutes to get out of the house because you got to go to church and, you know, get everything right in order. But he's moving too slow and we got to get everything together. I still got to do my hair, but I'm still going to be patient and loving and accepting. Love is not, when I come home and, you know, dinner's all ready and everything's set and nice and easy. Love is when I come home, the kids are screaming, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, you know, everybody's hungry, and it's, you know, just anything could set you off, but I'm going to choose to be patient and just keep my peace and not say anything until I've eaten something and, you know, we've all calmed down. That's love. That's love. Put them all, you know, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God is a good God. He wants us to have good relationships. He wants us to have the best relationships in life. This new year, starting in April, for many of us, we're going to meet new people. Let's build good relationships. Let's build loving, lasting relationships. For those people that we don't get along with, haven't got along with from the day one, and doesn't look any good from here on out, let's have some goals to be loving, patient, humble, gentle, kind, our words and our actions. For the ones who are the closest to us, let's have some goals to forgive for good and to just let things go. For the glory of God, this is this quote that we have up here, the blessing of good relationships is the happiness of life. It's nice. The Japanese is much better. if I can find it. All right. Ningen. I can't even say it. Ningen kanke no shukufuku koso. Jinsei no saiwai. Kohu. Okay. It's just more elegant than, you know, the blessing of good relationships is the happiness of life. But it's the truth. It's the truth. God wants us to have the happiness of life, the blessing of good relationships. Let's give glory to Him in all of our relationships. Amen. Please, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for each relationship that we have, the good ones and the difficult ones. We thank You, Lord, for the new ones and the old ones. Lord, we ask for strength. We ask for patience. We ask for gentleness. We ask for kindness and humility. We ask that You help us to forgive as You forgave us. We ask for more love, Lord, more love that will bind all these things in perfect unity. We will thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.